Okay, welcome back to Rambam Yomi. We are now in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, and the Rambam is moving away basically from the halachos that are speaking about individuals who commit Avodah Zarah, individuals who do Avodah Zarah with any of the different ways, either the ways that are fitting to that specific Avodah Zarah, or the kind of more general ways of doing Avodah Zarah, or accepting a god, accepting a an idol or a brick, even, says the Rambam, as Avodah Zarah, all of those cases, I'm sorry, as your God, right? All of those cases would be forms of Avodah Zarah as for an individual, and what the punishments are, the stoning, etc., the individual experience of Avodah Zarah, and how that's being perceived basically as part of a history from Enosh all the way until Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Oh, really to Avram Avinu, but then Moshe Rabbeinu coming to save the day the second time when we were in Mitzrayim. Fine. So the Rambam has gone through a lot of the different halachas about the individual going through Avodah Zarah. Now, the Rambam is focusing on a situation called the Nirai Nidachas, where basically a majority of a city, a singular city, a majority of that entire city, went towards Avodah Zarah, but not on their own. It's not like they just happened to be, they found Avodah Zarah and they just went on their own. No, they were actually intentionally, straight off the path, brought up the path by individuals who proselytize, who basically are trying to bring those individuals away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be at least two people who come to the city and say, oh, everyone follow us to Avodah Zarah, and people do follow them to Avodah Zarah, not only people, majority of the city does. That's considered to be an Nirai Nidachas. There are a lot of restrictions. We're going to go through in the halachos right now all these different restrictions that basically put a stopper on declaring a city as a Nirai Dachas. It's not enough to just have a majority of the city, not enough to just have two individuals. We'll see there's a slew of restrictions to slow down the process. And part of that comes along with the fact that in the Gemara itself, there's a discussion as to whether or not Nirai Dachas is actually one of the category of halachas that never actually took place. There's a whole category of halachas that say, oh, maybe just for theoretical purposes, this never happened and it will never happen. And the other opinion of the Gemara says, no, this actually did happen. Not only did it happen, but I was sitting once on the rubble of that city. Why did it say rubble of the city? Because what happens when a city actually is an Nirai Dachas? So it says we destroy the entire city and all the property in the city, all the people of the city. It becomes a totally destroyed city. And basically, no one's allowed to take any property out of that city. And we're going to go through the halakhos of what happens to certain properties. Let's say it's properties that are more complicated than just some property. So understanding all the halakhos of Nirai Dachas, that's the purpose of today's parak. And there are four different specific mitzvos that the Rambam focuses on when it comes to Nirai Nidachas. The first of these is the negative commandment, not to proselytize amongst the masses on behalf of Avodah Zarah. In other words, the initial two individuals that came to the city and said, you guys should follow me to Avodah Zarah, that is one isser already in and of itself, one mitzvah, one lo ta'aseh, that is being committed right there. And then there is a positive mitzvah. So that was mitzvah lo ta'aseh, that was the 15th mitzvah lo ta'aseh. The 186th positive mitzvah is to burn an Nirai Nidachas. That part of the responsibility of the community is to burn, or the Bukhari soul is to burn such a city. That's a mitzvah aseh. That's a positive commandment. And then two more negative commandments. This is numbers 23 and 24. These are the counts in the count of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. One is never to rebuild an Nirai Nidachas. Once it's burned, never to rebuild it. And number 24 again this is the fourth of the mitzvahs here, not to benefit from the spoils of a Nirai Nidachas. Again, none of the actual property of that city can be used afterwards. No one can get hana'ah from that property. We'll see. There are some exceptions to that, but that's the general rule. It's a unique form of halacha in the sense that usually we view individuals as individuals and individual sins as individual sins. But here we're talking about a city as viewed as one singular unit. Everybody is viewed as part of the city. And ultimately, if a majority is doing the wrong thing and the individuals who are proselytizing them away from the Torah, etc., So then those who get punished on their behalf, so to speak. Okay, again, for the purposes of right now, we'll just focus on the Rambam's halachos right now. There's a lot to learn about your halachos in general. The Rambam is going to give us an overview of those halachos. So this is very important. We went through a whole different whole grouping of the differences, the different types of avodah zarah one can commit, and different type of action. Simply just accepting a god, saying this brick is my lowercase, I guess obviously I'm saying false, but they would say they're real god. So that already is enough as avodah zarah. They don't have to bow. They don't have to bring a carbon. They don't have to defecate if it's the right thing to do. But no, just simply accepting it would already be enough. And obviously all the other actions has to be done appropriately, obviously the right action for the right of avodah zarah. But we saw all these different... Here we have a case where individuals would come and lead these people away, lead an entire city away. They come in and they try to do, instead of a tshuva movement to bring everyone back to Hashem, they're basically doing the opposite movement, avodah zarah movement, and bring everyone to avodah zarah. In that case, even if those individuals who came in to lead them astray, they themselves, those two people who came into the city, didn't actually do avodah zarah, nevertheless, they get stoned for doing the action to bring everyone else to avodah zarah. They themselves don't actually have to serve avodah zarah in order to get punished in this way. They get skila, they get stoned for their actions. And those people who do get led astray, who are allowed themselves to be taken away, astray away from God, they're executed by Sayyid, decapitation, right? And Vehusha Avdu Avodah Sochav Moshe Kibluho Ha Aleihem Be'alokha. Right? And that's as if they, as long as they did the actual worship of Avodah Zarah, or they simply accepted Avodah Zarah as a God. Azara the Madiach Minayim. Where do we know there's an Azara? There's a warning in the Torah to a Madiach, an individual who is trying to proselytize to move people away from Hashem and towards Avodah Zarah. The pasuk says, "Shenemar lo yishama al picha." Right? Don't allow the name of a lo yishama, what lo yishama, the name of an avodah zarah or the encouragement of avodah zarah, to be heard through your mouth. This person dafka did and tried to encourage people to go to that avodah zarah. Good. Halacha beis ein a ear nasis ear nidachash. Right? So a whole long list of things. Right? That an ear can't become an ear nidachas unless it fulfills these, again, like we were saying before, restrictions. So first of all, these two individuals who are coming along, So these individuals, these rathatizers, which we're talking about, these medichim, they have to be from within the shevet, they have to be within the same shevet of individuals, and they have to be from within the actual city, right? That city and their shevet, and they need to be at least two or more people, because it's a yatu anashim, and multiple people are going to do this ve'adji adichu ruba, and they have to be successful in moving majority of the people towards avodah zarah. So again, we have number one is that it has to be these people, we have to have actually, it can't just be people to find avodah zarah on their own. They need to be people who are encouraging them to do that. That's one. Those people who are encouraging must be two and or more individuals coming to do this. They have to come from within that city and that shevet in order to accomplish that. So that's, I guess, restriction number three. They have to convince, this is restriction number four, they have to convince majority of that city to go and serve avodah zarah, okay? Ve'yu mudachim in meya v'rubu shasheven. And this is an important part. The mudachim, the people that get swept along in this movement, have to be from at least 100. This is number five. At least 100 people. So let's say it's a city of 35 people, and so we have a majority of the city, 20 of them. Givadik, 20 of them. Or done with less, but okay, 20 of them. Went along with it. That's not enough. You need at least 100, not 100 as the, 100 needs to be the majority. Meaning, so let's say that you need at least 199 people that live in the city, and 100 of them need to have been swept along in this movement. And until the point of majority of the entire Sheva, the entire tribe. So you have to be somewhere within the total number of individuals who get swept along must exist between the number of 100 and until 50% of the entire tribe. So that's number five on the restrictions. We're going to go into that for a second now. Aval imud hudach rubo shasheva. But what happens if they go above the rubo shasheva? That's if they do actually get the majority of an entire tribe. Danin osaki yechidim. We treat them all as individuals. That seems odd. I get that it can't be too small. Maybe we have to, you know, imagine that the city has to be of sizable. We'll see in a second. That's exactly what it means. That Yoshvei Ha'ir, Shnemar Yoshvei Ha'ir, Lo Kfar Katan, it can't be a small city, but also Lo Krach Gadol, it can't be a massive metropolitan, it can't be a massive Manhattan, for example. It can't be humongous, no, you can't be, you have 50% of the entire Shevet living there, and they all sway, you know, get swayed away. No way. In that situation, all those individuals get viewed as individuals. We can't sweep along a massive city because of the majority of the individuals there, a majority of individuals of a million people, or thousands and thousands of people, again, up until half of the entire Shevet would be major numbers. Those numbers would no longer allow for Yidacha to be created. So again, number five here of restrictions is that it has to be somewhere above the number 100 and below the half line mark of an entire Shevet, because of Yoshvei Ha'ir, they have to be an ear, not a Kfar Katan, not a Kfar Gadol. It has to be somewhere in the middle. V'lo pachod mimei Kfar Katan, right? And anything underneath 100 would be a Kfar Katan, would be smaller. Okay, good. Now, again, that's again, Rubo Shal Shevet, Kfar Gadol. We treat more than half the Shevet as a Kfar Gadol. Good. V'cheni mi duchua nashim oktanim, o shidicha yachid, o shehuda chamimuta, says the Rambam, what if, we have five so far, now we're going to have five new things. What if these people, the proselytes, are women or minors? Let's say a minor get up there in the middle of the town square and was able to convince the entire city to go to them. No way. A woman would do that? No way. That, right, that is not, so that's again, now that's number six. Let's say again, this is actually similar to the one earlier, that a yachid does this as opposed to multiples. So we already had that as one of the early ones. I'm not going to count it as number seven. We'll get to number seven in a second. But if one individual came in, tried to convince the entire city and was successful to get a majority of them, so that wouldn't be enough. You need multiples. We said it before on Hashem. Oh, shehudcham mi'uta. Let's say they don't get to the majority, they only get the minority. Again, we saw that earlier in the opposite, the converse, they need to the majority. So we're not going to count that as another restriction. So far we have six restrictions on creating in our Nachas. If it's just one individual to be the prophet, it's not enough. If it's just, less than the if it's not majority, if it's just a minority, not good enough. Oh, she's called Mea Lehen. Let's say they do it on their own. So this one, it would be number seven. If the entire city figured it out on their own, they decided, yeah, we're going to go to Avodah Zarah on our own. That's not good enough for a majority, not good enough. Oshay Medichem Mechutzalah. Again, this is also, we've said earlier, that the apostles doesn't need to come from within the city, from within that Shevet. If it's not from within that Shevet, not within that city, so then we don't treat it. Ain't done it by Yeridach. At that point, we don't treat it like Yeridach. So what happens if you don't treat it like Yeridach? We still have so many people that are doing Avodah Zarah. What do you do with them? We treat them as individuals. So we treat them as individuals who did Avodah Zarah. And so we go back a parak and we treat them like all the other individuals who did Avodah Zarah. And we give them skila, we stone them. Call me Shavra v'monon liar shehen kishar ruge basin. And so this is going to be a major distinction. They're still getting killed. So what's the difference between a person that gets killed as part of your Yeridachas and a person that gets killed as an individual? So first of all, it doesn't implicate the entire rest of the city. It only is the individuals who do the Avodah Zarah. But on top of that, the property is a major piece of this. In an Yeridachas, the property gets destroyed and it can't be passed down to the next generation as part of a Yerusha, as part of an inheritance to the next generation. But when it comes to an individual who did do Avodah Zarah, when they're killed, like most cases of Eruge Basin, where the Basin kills the individual, and the property of that individual becomes passed on down to the next generation. It doesn't get subsumed or it doesn't get destroyed. It gets passed on to the next generation. Okay? So that's a major difference. When we say that we treat them as Yechidim, that's a major, major difference in how we treat the property. Halacha Gimel. Ein Daniel Dachas El Basin Shall Achal Veshivim. So now, what happens if we have a case that we say, someone says we have an Yeridachas on our hands. Who's dealing with such a case? So not just any individual basin can deal with this. This requires the 71, the large basin, right? Basin Gadol. Shivim v'echad. Shnei v'otisit is the Yerachu. Oh, it's a Yisha. He, you're going to take this individual out of the city. Take him out to the Sharecha. Again, your gates. And this is interpreted to mean that what Yechidin Neragin Basin shall call Shar Veshar. Vein Meruv Neragin Ela Basin Hagado. So the Pasuk says, take that one individual out and bring him to your Shar. Your Shar can be a smaller basin. That's where you're going to do the din over there, the judgment over there. But if we're dealing with Yerani Dachas, when we're dealing with a multitude of individuals, then you have to go to the Basin HaGadol, the Supreme Court, so to speak, that you can't, no smaller court can be dealing with this, such a case. And so again, that's just another restriction on the case here, but not a restriction in the way that Eirei Dachas is created, but a restriction in how it's being judged. Good, which ultimately, if we can't get them to the Shivim Ve'echad, if we can't get into the 71 person basin, so then you still can't create a Yerei Dachas. Fine. Alecha Dalet. Ein Achas Me'ani HaMikvah. Nas is Yerei Dachas. So we've had a bunch of restrictions so far on the way to develop a Yerei Dachas. And now we have a new one. What's the new one? So what happens if it's an Yerei Mikvah? So, right, so the Pesukim tell us, right, the Be'echad Sha'arecha, Be'echad Arecha, sorry. That these are your cities, right? So you can't, an Eir Miklot, which is intended for an individual who kills inadvertently Beshogeg, to run, away to get cover from the family who wants to kill him, the family of the person he killed Beshogeg. So that's an Eir Miklot. That's intended to be a city of refuge, and it cannot become an Eir Dachas. You can't turn it into an Eir Dachas. And guess what? Lo Yishalayim Nas is Eir Dachas. Yishalayim can never become an Eir Dachas. Why? If Yishalayim Nischalko Lishvatim wasn't separated, wasn't divided amongst the different tribes. In other words, as we pointed out earlier, one of the restrictions was that the Eir Dachas has to be from a tribe, a specific tribe, and that's what we're going to be, judging that individual city from that individual tribe. Yerushalayim is not split up amongst the tribes, and so therefore you can't judge it as a member of a tribe. Ve'ein osin yerei dachas v'sfar k'dei shelo yikantzov dekachavim yachribu es Eretz Yisrael. You can't make an yerei dachas basically in any of the border cities of Eretz Yisrael, because we're nervous if you start destroying cities on the border of Eretz Yisrael because of Avodah Zarah being done there. So ultimately what you're doing is you're opening up a path in the first line of defense to our outside enemies. Outside enemies are going to come in and destroy all of Eretz Yisrael if you do that. So you can't do that either. Again, more restrictions on creating a case of Eretz Yisrael. So even if all the previous halacha, all those restrictions were followed and were to a T, and you had two individuals from the same city, from the same Shevet, come and convince the majority of individuals, and that those two individuals who came to lead them astray were not women or were not minors, but rather they were men who came and led half the city astray, and it wasn't on their own, and they did it in the right way, and everyone, served them all of that, and you're able to bring them to a basin of the 71. All of those unlocks were followed, and then you show up and you say, but that city's on the border, boom, it's out of the picture. Or if that city is an Eir Miklot, boom, out of the picture. So again, all of those other previous steps can be filled, and yet still, it won't happen to be Eir Dachas. That's what I mean, but there's so many layers of restriction to make this happen. V'ein based in Echad Oseh Shalosh Nidachos Besadzo. And let's say, for example, you have all the rules followed, and it's not a border city, And yet, there are three cities in a row. They all seem to have had this issue happen in their cities. So one basin cannot create three Ayin Dachos next to each other. But if there's enough space in between them, if they're separated, so then it'd be acceptable. Okay? So more restrictions. Good. So again, another restriction. All these things were followed up until this halacha. Now we're going to add another layer of restrictions. What are we talking about? What happens if the individuals who came into the city and tried to lead everyone away did it on a one-on-one basis? They came and took individuals, or they spoke individually, spoke to themselves. They said, I'm not even talking to you. I'm going to tell you what I find to be true about myself. I'm going to definitely serve, you know, this God, because this God has done miracles for me, et cetera, et cetera. But if he never gets to the statements of the Lashon Rabbim in plural, should say, Nelech v'navo, let's go and serve this thing, right? Oh, Nelech v'nizmach, let's go and bring a karmah. Or Nelech v'nakta, let's go and bring a haktara, let's go bring a burnt libation, right? Oh, Nelech v'nasech, and bring a libation, or Nelech, we're going bow down to it. You'll notice those are the four things that we said earlier that are universal forms of serving Avodah Zarah. Oh, Nelech v'nekabel be'aloka. Or we'll go and accept it as our God. Also, that's the fifth universal form. V'heim, that could even be applied to a rock or a stone. V'heim shoymin, and they listen. The Avdosan, they go and serve the Avodah Zarah, Derech Avodah in the right way. Oh, Ba'achas Mi'arba'ab, or in one of the four universal ways. Oh, Shekiblu Avelo, or they accept it as their God. In all of those cases, you first need the Madichel, you first need the proselytizers who to come along and say it in the plural form. So everything else could have been kept, but if they said it individually, they said it in some other rhetorical way, no good. They need to actually actively direct their attention to the masses and say, let us all go do that. So let's say we finally get to a situation where we have a city that all of these conditions are not fulfilled. Right, meaning you have most of the conditions, but not one of them. So what do you do, right? And now we get to the last case. Everything was correctly done, but he didn't say Nelech. He just said, I'm going to go, you know, with the plan of getting people to come, but it wasn't a direct invitation to everybody. So what happens if they don't follow all of these tonight, these conditions? Hey, Akosinlan, what do you do with them? Because again, remember, a lot of the individuals in that city still did have a Zara. We treat them as individuals again, and we get the testimony, and anyone with a testimony and had the warning and the death of the Zaras to give them a skila, and their property again goes to the next of kin. Okay, so what is the judgment that happens there if all the criteria are met? In a situation where they actually can do Ayin Dachas. Okay? So first of all, based on God, the Shaykh Medarshin, the Chokrin, Achi, Yedibi, Viraya, Barura, Chehudcha, Kola, Iro, Ruba, Vichazla, Vishavim. So first of all, they get this accusation, so the Basin HaGadol will sends a messengers to go and check and to do investigative work. Is it true that two individuals came in and did all of this stuff, right? Basically checking all the halakhos, all of the rules that we just went through, did it actually happen that way? Then after that, then they sent two major Talmidei Chachamim, great sages, to come and try to convince that city after they've proven that it all is true. Even after all that, then they sent two Talmidei Chachamim to try to convince them and to warn them and say, you gotta go back. Because if you do tshuva, also tshuva mutav. It's important to keep that in mind. We're heading into right now. We're Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? We're heading into Elul right now. So if you do tshuva mutav, a whole city could be doing avodah zara, and you fulfill all of these obligations, these crazy obligations, in order to live up to the level of an avodah zara, right? Chas v'shalila, mutav. If they did tshuva based on after all that, they still, at that point, will be allowed back. They're allowed to get tshuva, allowed mutav. Good. Good for them that did tshuva. We'll leave them alone. Wow. What inspiring words that we should, each and every one of us, should find a way that we can do tshuva in our lives. V'im yamdu b'ivalton. So what happens if after that they get the Talmid Chacham, they come and they warn them after that, and they tell them to come do tshuva, and they still stick, you know, to the Avodah Zarah, and they ignore them, they're not interested. Based in Mitzavim, the Chol Yisrael Alos Alein Sava. Now the basin sends a message out to all of the nations of Israel to bring their armies to come and attack. V'hein Saran Alein V'orchim Mahem Milchama Adjetigbaka Ha'ir. And they literally, they're there for the long haul. Until the city falls, they're going to keep attacking. Kishati baka ha'ir, miyad marbin mahen bateidinin v'donin osan. At that moment, immediately after taking over the city, they set up lots of bateidin. And they start doing individual cases for all the individual people. They try to get a gauge as to really how many individuals in the city actually did this avodah zarah. That's what the purpose of this is. It's not to assess the yiradachas yet. Right, again, we said basin needs to be the basin of God, level 71. But they set up a smaller button in here now to assess individual by individual, not to punish individuals as individuals, but just to assess them and to try to put them into categories of these people that were part of the movement or the people that were not part of the movement. Call Misha Bahu Allah Shnei Eden, any individual, the two witnesses came along and said, any individuals in the city that basically that there was testimony for that they did have a zara after they had warning from two witnesses in that situation, what would we do as individuals? Put them on the side, right? If of the entire city only a minority are the ones in that group at the end, so then everyone else is saved, and we just do skila for the individuals who did avodah zarah, and we leave the rest of the city alone. Nimsu ruba, let's say it is majority, malin oiso. Then we bring all those individuals in the whole city to the base in Agadol. The Gomim Sham Dinam, the Hargin called Elush of the Besaid. And we basically kill everybody who was involved in doing that with the Zara Besaid. From Machanes called Nevesh Adam Asher Bal, Lefi Charev, Tapanashim im Hutchot Kula. If the entire city in that situation, Hutchot Kula, if the entire city became, not just the majority, the entire city became of the Chachavim, so then everybody would be killed in that situation, not only, again, so if it's the majority are the ones that get killed, and if it's everybody, then everybody gets killed, including the children and the women of that city. In Nimtza Obdim Aruba, and let's say the Obdim Aruba, so go back to the majority case, not that everybody was, but the Obdim Aruba, Makim Eskola Tapanashim Shal Obdim Lepicharev, so the women and the children of those individuals who did avodah zarah also get killed in that situation as well. Uvein shehudcha kulo, vein shehudcha ruba, sokas marlichel mekamtin eshlala el toch rechova. So whether it is the entire city or it is majority of the city, the individuals who went ahead and proselytized to the city, those individuals who came in, remember the two individuals, they can't be women or children, but they have to come in. They have to be from within that city and from the shevet, the tribe. If they come in, those individuals and they cause a majority or the entire city to go to avodah zarah, those individuals are stoned to death. They get skila. And in addition to that, all of the property ultimately is now collected, Koshlo El Tokrechava, is brought into the main street. Ein La Rechov, Osin La Rechov. If again, so this is all the property of everybody that was involved. So if it's the majority of the city that the Devil Zara, they the ones that get killed, and their wives and their children get killed, and their property comes to, along with the prostitutes, you know, bring their property to the main street of the city. And if it's the entire city, so it's everybody's property that comes along to the main street of the city. But what happens if you don't have a main street of the city? Ein la rechov, osin la rechov. Wow. So if there is no rechov, if there is no main street, you make one. The pasuk says you have to go within the city's main street. So let's say the main street is outside the city. Says the Rambam, you got to build a wall to include that portion into the actual city, extend the city to make sure that rechova is part of the city. The horgan called nefesh chaya asher ba b'surfin es kol shlala im hamdina ba'esh r'sveifa saw mitzas atish nema v'sakta ba'esh es ha'ir v'eta kol shlala. So the property is collected into that city, and by hook or by crook, there's going to be a main street. Either we create a main street, or we combine the city into be creating a main street. All live animals. When it says here, all nefesh chaya, we're talking about all live animals are contained that are within the city are killed. All of its property and the city as a whole is burnt with fire, and that is a mitzvah asay. To burn, as we pointed out earlier in this year. Okay, halacha zayin. What about nechsei hatzadikim? What about all the property of the righteous people who didn't go in the wrong direction? To b'seicha, v'heim shar yeshvei ha'ir shalahutchu im ruba. So let's say they didn't go along with this, this path of individuals who of the majority who did do this. Nesaf v'chal shlala hovil v'yashru sham mamonam avod. And not only that, says the Rambam, even the righteous people, so the remainder of the city who didn't go in this direction, so all of their property should also be burned. And this is where I was talking about earlier, that everybody kind of gets the punishment. Even if they weren't involved in not all the part were not killed, but their property is destroyed. Since they lived there, so their properties are destroyed. And we're kind of a nice reminder, about the impact of, individuals where they live and where we're supposed to be. The Rambam talks about peer pressure and tell us that we have to be very careful to make sure that, when we're trying to live in the right place, making sure we're living amongst people that we that are going to help us grow, not the opposite direction. So they live there, that's why they lose all their property. And if you get any benefit from any amount of these this property from the city, this machlus that comes along with it, nothing can remain in your possession. It has to be destroyed. The Ariad asks, who's moved? So now what happens in a case, and this is a case of Zomvin, where basically you have two Edim, two witnesses that come along. Let's give a classic case of Zomvin, then we'll come to Ariad asks. A classic case of Zomvin is two individuals come along and say, well, we saw this individual, Plomi, and this Joe Schmo, and this Joe Schmo did a sin, name the sin, okay? And we want this person, therefore, to get punished because the sin. So, and these individuals were total liars, right? So that's the Zomvin, right? So what happens if they get away with it? So they get away with it. What happens, though, if before the punishment is given to the individual who is on the receiving end of their testimony, so Joe Schmo, before Joe Schmo is punished, these two individuals get not hachasha, not two other witnesses coming along and saying a totally oppositional idea. No, come along and say you were with Joe Schmo at that moment in time, but you were with us somewhere else at that time, right? If you were with us at somewhere else at that exact time, how could you testify that you know that Joe Schmo did this at that time? Impossible. And so basically what we're doing is not destroying their testimony, we're destroying themselves as being part of that testimony. It could be what they said was true, it could be not. It doesn't matter. The individuals themselves are now zomified, and they, then halacha says, are supposed to receive what it is that they were trying to give over to the other, to the Joe Schmo. So they receive the punishment. So what happens in the case? We're in halacha shehuzmu edeha kol amachzik v'nechasel zacha umutu lehanos ba shehari huzmu. So why? V'lama zacha ba, and why did that happen? V'lama zacha ba. So we're not focusing on the witnesses right now and what their punishment is. That'll be a separate topic at a different time. But for right now, what happens if someone else came along and took the possession of a property of that city? So these two individuals came along and they testified this city is in Ariad Nachas. And they got to, you know, far along until to be able to basically say all the property in an individual, these individuals were going to basically be destroyed. So what happened? Everybody in the city was mafkir their, they nullified their ownership of, of the rights. So why did they acquire? Because everyone in that city basically gave up their ownership of their property after the judgment was rendered. And so therefore, anyone who comes along and takes that stuff at that point it would be allowed to keep it. They own it at that point because they were masker. They didn't think that they were going to be able to keep their property because they thought that was it. You know, these two Adam came and got us, and now we're all going to be, that's it. So all of our stuff is going to be, whether we were tzaddikim or rishayim, all of our stuff is going to be bad. And so anyone were destroyed. So anyone who came in during that time and stole the property at that time, there wasn't stealing, they took the property, they would be allowed to keep it, which is a fascinating halacha. And that city can never be rebuilt. Why do we know that? Because the pasuk says, don't rebuild it. The pasuk tells us, and therefore, it is totally allowed to use that land for gardens and orchards. Why? But you're going to say that's rebuilding it. No. Rebuilding it as a city like it used to be. Lo sivane, you can't rebuild it the way it was. Rebuild. But to build it into something else, if you use it for a garden, use it for something else, that would be acceptable. Halacha test. Sheyara ha'overas mimakom lemakom im avram be'ira indachas v'hudecha ima im sham shloshim yom. Very interesting. What happens if we have a caravan, people that are journeying along, and they move from one place to the next, but they ended up showing up in Eridahas, and they ended up falling along with this movement, during this movement process, and they went along with that path, and they became a Avodei Avodah Zarah. If they're there for 30 days, which kind of gives a settlement, that's the reason we have, like I say, mezuzahs need to be put up by 30 days. It's like kind of it shows that you're part of that city at that point. Ne'eragim v'sayef, they get killed. Umonam aven, and their property is destroyed. But if im lav heim b'skiva umonam b'yashem. So if not, so we treat them as individuals. They still get killed because they still did avodah zarah b'skiva. They get killed with stoning, but their money and their property can go to the next of kin. So what happens if I have property in the city that belongs to someone else, right? It's a property that belongs to other cities, people that, right? So I have a property, and I'm storing it in Eridakas. I live elsewhere, and now it's being stored. So for someone living in Yerushalayim, it never could be in Eridakas. There's not that much space in Yerushalayim. So they store it in a facility in this place. And it happens now that this becomes Eridakas. What happens? So in that situation, even if the people of the city say, no, that belongs to me, doesn't matter. You have to send it back to the previous owner, and because it's not shlala, it has to be shlala of, it has to be the goods of the city, not goods of someone else. So you send it back out, and that doesn't get destroyed. So the storage unit is holding my property. I get it back, all right, and before they destroy everything. So what happens if we have again these wicked people, the people that actually went to the Avodah Zarah in that city, and they have property that is being kept elsewhere. So they have property that they put in another city in storage there. So they live in the Eridakas, but their stuff is somewhere else. So what do you do in that situation? So if they were able to gather that together and bring it to the Eridakas, so then it becomes burnt together. But if not, then it's not destroyed. Rather, it's given to the Yerushim, meaning it wasn't in the city at the time. So if it was already brought together, so we burn it. If they didn't bring it over there, so then you just give it to the next of kin. Half of an animal belongs to someone in the Eridakas, half of it belongs to someone else. That's not because it's, half the animal, is walking here. No, you have a cow. Cows are expensive, so you have two people that bought the cow together. They're in partnership, business partnership. But so half of it belongs to Joe, who's in the Eretz Yisrael. Half of it belongs to Shmo, who's in Yerushalayim. Shaisa b'soicha harezo asura. So if the animal is within in the Irani Dachas, even though it belongs partially to someone else, it needs to be destroyed. The Isa, Shahi Kain, let's say I have a loaf of bread, or if that matter, another piece of property, we'll see in a second that is different than an animal, a type of property that can be, divided. So an animal, if you divide an animal, it's dead. But if you divide a piece of bread, or not a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, for example, between these two individuals, so Joe owns half of that loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread is in the city, and Shmo owns the other half. So one of them lives in there, and the other one doesn't. So in that situation, came Meteres, the Fisha Efshel Echalka. So in that case, the loaf of bread, which is owned, is permitted. Why? Because it can be divided, and that situation is not like an animal. Behema Shel, Irani Nachas, and Nishkata, Asura Behana, Kishra, Niska, Nishka. So in a situation where you have an animal, they're in the process of dealing with everything, and it's an animal of Irani Nachas, and ended up getting slaughtered in the process and wasn't involved in the typical, destruction of all of the property in the Irani Nachas. So what do you do with that animal's meat and all the other parts of the animal that you might be able to get hana from, you can get benefit from. A surbana, you can't get any benefit from it. The same way, let's say you have a situation where you have an ox that was condemned to be killed, because it was, killing other people, for example. If it was slaughtered, shenishcha, in that situation, if it was slaughtered beforehand, before it was able to be stoned, you also can't get hana from that animal. Sa'ar harosh, so what happens if you have individuals' hair? So those individuals' hair can be utilized. You can get hana from those people. Aval shall pay a nachris harehu michlal shalah v'asur. But that's because it's not property at that point. It's part of their virus. So they were killed, and so you can use the hair, and that's for something else. But when it comes to an actual wig, if you have an actual wig, since the wig is separated from the person who was killed in that situation, so the wig itself is considered to be part of the shlala, and that has to be destroyed because it's part of the possessions of the city. So you see all these specific cases. What happens if you have produce that is connected still to the ground? That's living in that, right? So you have produce inside the city, but it's still connected to the ground. Why? Take boats, Mr. Afti. You have to gather it up and then burn it. Misha Haina Mechusar Ella Kibbutz Usreifa Yatsu Peirosh Amechubarin Shahai Haina Mechusarin Tlisha Vekibbutz Usreifa. So the Pasuk says you have to gather it and then burn it. So it's only referring to things that you just gather and burn, the movable items. But if it's still attached to the ground and then you have to cut it and then gather it and then burn it, that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. So those things are off of the burning list. The Sa'ar Rosh, and that's why we were telling you before, the same thing with Sa'ar Rosh, the hair of someone's head, if it's still connected to the body, so then it's mutter to utilize, whereas if it was separated, if it's now become a wig, that wouldn't be allowed. The answer of you don't have to even say the trees themselves. Why? Of course. And those things can be passed down to the Yerusha, to the next generation, next of kin. There shows, what about hektish? Hektish means that some item in the city was devoted to the Beis HaMikdash. So if kachim is beach, yamusu shneim or zevach rishayim to eva. So if it's a kachim is beach, let's say it's animals that were intended to go become krabados, so they have to die out, right? Those animals have to die. Why? Because the Pasuk tells us that it's disgusting. The Rishon doesn't want, it's an abomination to bring animals that from Rishonim like this. We don't want that in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want it. It's good. So they destroy it. They, right? Those animals die. Good. What about Kachet Bedek HaBayis? Yipadu ve'achar kach soifin osad shenayim ar shlala ve'lo shah shamayim. So what happens if you have property that was consecrated? So regular property, not the animals. So that was intended for the purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. So those have to be redeemed. And then afterwards, that item is burned. Meaning the property itself, the item itself can be burned, but the the value of that property is first redeemed off of that item and then given to the Beis Hamikdash like that. So the value is no longer there. And since I can be poda, since I can redeem it, then the item itself is no longer bedek habayit. It's no longer for the Beis Hamikdash, and so therefore that can be destroyed at that point. Only after it is redeemed. Good. Halacha yudal. And abechor b'maiser shebesocho. So that happens if you have a firstborn animal or a meiser of an animal, right? So every tenth animal in someone's pen would be given as meiser. So one tenth, you have to give tithes, right? So you have meiser or the bechor, the firstborn animal. So shebesocho. Timimim harehin kachim isbeach v'amusu. If they are in good shape and they're not blemished, so then they're like all the other kachim isbeach, the other animals that need to be brought as the base of for karbanos. And in that situation, since we don't like those karbanos of yamusu, they die. They have to die. Ubali mumin. Let's say they are blemished. Harehin mechal mehemta v'neragim. So at that point, if they're blemished, then we treat them like the other animals of those people's flocks, and then we kill them specifically. Right, not that they die, we kill them. Same way we kill all the other animals of the people who did that vodazara. Hatrumos, or those who don't, right? Remember, even the tzaddikim's property get destroyed. Hatru, because they're living there. Hatrumos shebesocha. What happens if you have truma? Truma was given to the kohen. So what happens if a truma that's inside? If it's already arrived at the yad kohen, the hand of the kohen. So at that point, yirakvu mipnei shehem nechasav. So if it's already given to the kohen, so it should be, basically it has to rot. Because at that point now it belongs to the individual kohen, it's private property. We're not going to destroy it, but at the same time, it's not going to be utilized, so it has to rot. Like the animals that are for the kohen is there. Dying hand by Yisrael, let's say it's still in the hand of Yisrael, they're on their way to the kohen. Yinasn the kohen shel medina acher. So at that point you can take that property and give it to a different kohen who lives somewhere else. The nation hain nixle shemayim, because they belong to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The kedusha son, kedusha saguf, and the kedusha that comes along with it is the actual item there. And so that actual item, since it belongs to a kohen, hasn't been given to a kohen yet. You go in off and you give it to a kohen from somewhere else, obviously not to a kohen from that community. Halacha tezvav maaser sheni vechesed maaser sheni. So what happens? You have the second tie, right? Not the maaser you take on everything, but there's always a maaser sheni. Different types of Maaser Sheni, but Maaser Sheni nonetheless, the second tithe afterwards, Ukeset Maaser Sheni. What happens also of the money that people have used to redeem the Maaser Sheni on? In both those cases, the Kisei HaKodesh, and along with holy works, holy written works, Torahs and scrolls, Shebesoka Harei Elu Yiganzu. So you put them in Geniza, these things, we can't do anything with them. We put them into a geniza, bury them basically, because we're stuck. Similar to like those animals that we just let die, we don't feed them, for example, we let them die. In this situation also, we don't destroy it, but we also, because we can't destroy it, but at the same time we don't utilize it. Fine. Halakha tazayin, kala osid din bi'yarin da'as harayhein ke makrib ola kaliyo shneem markadullah Hashem elokeva. And now the Rambam is focusing on the individuals who do the din, the judges of the situation in the Irani Dachas. And again, imagine it's a very, very intense thing to call a city in Irani Dachas. Right? That's why the Gemara clearly not everyone believed that it was Irani Dachas. So in that situation, the person that does it, it's as if they brought an Ola. They brought a burnt offering to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The low old not only that, but you cause the Rosh Hashanah's anger to go away from Klai Yisrael, and maybe Alei and Bracha Racham Mishnem Bar Vinasal Lecha Racham Rechamcha Rehebecha. Says the Torah of the Rambam that the Rosh Hashanah's mercy will go on you in this situation, and you're doing the right thing. Essentially, there's encouragement that the individual is doing the right thing. We covered a lot of halachos regarding Irani Dachas, covered the entire topic, and again, this falls into the halachos of Avodah Zarah because it's all about a city that has been gone not on a Muslim movement or a movement of tshuva, but rather the exact opposite, a movement following proselytes who say we should go serve Avodah Zarah, and the majority of or all of the city goes along that path, and we talk about what type of destruction that comes along to that city in the aftermath of that. Some would say that based on the halachos here, especially in halacha Yud Aleph, some would say that the Rambam believed in the second opinion of the Gemara, and that we actually did have a case of an Eirei Dachas in the past, but it's not explicitly written that way. Have a wonderful night, and we will continue tomorrow with the next paragraph.